content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Dani Arsenault from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Lion Magazine. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the August 2022 issue of Lion Magazine. We're going to jump right in today with our Global Service Department, beginning with an article from Israel entitled, Lions Get In on Octopi Action to Help Preemies Grow. Armed with crochet hooks and boundless enthusiasm, members of a Lions Club in Israel are creating colorful stuffed octopi to help premature babies thrive. Research shows that nestling the crocheted sea animals in isolettes can provide benefits for preemies, which is why members of the Almog Kilrat Ono Lions Club started making the eight-legged octopi in October of 2021. Lion Laura Babai was watching television when she learned about the Octo Project, which started 9 years ago in Denmark and has expanded into an international effort to make the stuffed animals for premature babies. With rounded bodies and bulging eyes, octopi may not seem like the perfect companions for small babies, but it turns out they soothe newborns, especially in the innately stressful setting of a neonatal intensive care unit with its glaring lights, blinking machines, and healthcare providers coming in and out. The idea is to pair preemies and octopi. It was born in Aarhus University Hospital in Denmark, which found that the stuffed octopi can help improve a premature baby's breathing and regulate their heartbeat and blood oxygen levels. They also discovered that the soft, curled tentacles resembled the umbilical cord, and when babies grasp the tentacles, they feel safe and comforted. The babies also were less likely to pull out the tubes and monitors needed to protect their health. After numerous internet searches, emails, and phone calls, Babai connected with a representative of the Octopi Project in Israel, who referred them to a craft teacher who coordinates similar groups and who passes along the octopi to hospitals. Almog Kilrat Ono Lion Shoshi Ben Dror, who is a skilled crafter, spent a day learning the directions for making the octopi, which have to be made to hospital standards. We are providing homemade dolls that go into neonatal wards for preemies and into their incubators, says Babai. The dolls have to be made accordingly. Each donated octopi is carefully checked and machine washed before being handed over. The Israeli club has 7 members who meet once a week to make the octopi under Dror's guidance. Luckily, she took it upon herself to order the materials and instruct us, says Babai. She also helps new members. Some members of the group were motivated to take part because they themselves had given birth to premature babies. Others simply wanted to learn the joys of crafting. We found that we all improved over time and with practice, says Babai. She estimates it takes about 3 days to make one octopus, and members often crochet in their spare time at home or while watching television. As of July, they have made about 75 octopi. The cost of the yarn is covered by the Lions Club, and each participant brings their own crochet hook. A skein of yarn costs about 3 Israeli new shekels, which is about 86 cents in U.S. currency, and it takes one skein to make 1.5 to 2 octopi. For other clubs considering getting in on the octopus action, Babai recommends learning if there are other octopi project groups or other groups already doing similar work in their communities and learning from their experiences. Making those connections can help open the door to cooperation with hospitals that will accept the octopi. Babai says the effort has benefited the preemies, as well as the lions who have bonded during their weekly crocheting bees. If the group is small, we all have become friends, constantly chatting as we crochet and receiving help with questions about problems with our crocheting, Babai says. 4 of the members are new to our Lions Club, and thus, we have created a great opportunity to all become friends. Our next story is titled, Not to Forget. More than 6 million Americans aged 65 and older are living with memory loss caused by Alzheimer's dementia today. But a new movie by filmmaker and Las Vegas host Lion Valerio Zanoli focuses on the caregivers, whose tedious and exhausting work is often forgotten. Caregivers often face health crises of their own after living with the stress of caring for loved ones for years, often coupled with full-time jobs and caring for their children as well. In his movie, Not to Forget, Zanoli takes the focus off the Alzheimer's patient and turns it instead on a young caregiver. This is a tribute to caregivers because caregivers are the unsung heroes, he says. They act out of pure love. Relatively new to the world of lions, Zanoli has seen that lions are the caregivers of the community. One thing they taught me when I joined the club in 2021 is that we are supposed to have the heart of a lion. We should always be lions, he says. When we serve one person, a loved one, or a stranger on the street, it's a big deal because it can have an impact. Now, out on multiple platforms, his movie tells the story of a millennial who doesn't know anything about Alzheimer's, but finds his self-absorbed life changed when he goes to court charged with petty crimes. The judge, played by Olympia Dukakis, assigns him to care for his grandmother who lives in the country. Grandma, played by Karen Grassel from the TV drama Little House on the Prairie, is suffering through the early stages of Alzheimer's. She doesn't remember him. Italian-born Zanoli learned early on in his Catholic school about the importance of caring for others and doing it quietly. As a young man, he cared for his mother, a social worker who fought cancer for 7 years. When she died, he decided to make movies to make a difference and to carry on her legacy. Movies could and should make a difference, he says. That's why he created the project www.letsmakeadifference.info to produce films that raise awareness and funds for important causes including childhood cancer, eating disorders, and bullying. At 18, Zanoli left Italy to make movies in California, later moving on to Las Vegas, where as a real estate investor he became interested in helping the homeless. He created a network of landlords willing to work with individuals no one else wanted to house, eventually helping hundreds of families. His contribution to society was already outstanding, but it was encouraged and furthered even more after he joined our club and was inspired to give and serve even more, says Marlon Call, president of the Las Vegas Host Club. He once asked me, "If we don't help, who else will?" And he is absolutely right. Zanoli says he is especially proud to join his club in helping the Las Vegas rescue mission by cooking and serving food for the people they temporarily house. His film was shot in 2019 before he became a lion, but his fellow lions were excited about the project and have helped spread the word and raise awareness. Zanoli joined their club, he says, because he began to feel like he couldn't make a difference always working on his own. I wanted to be inspired by other people who had the same mission and be in the same room to think with others about ways to make a difference. I love to clean glasses. I love to cut vegetables at the homeless shelter. I really enjoy doing service with other people who are just like me. The one thing that makes us all the same is that we want to serve and we want to do good, Zanoli says. It pushes me forward. He also likes to bring guests to Lions meetings, he says, hoping to connect people who are trying to improve their community. Through this latest film, Zanoli connected 5 Oscar-winning actors, Tatum O'Neill, Louis Gossett Jr., George Chakiris, Olympia Dukakis, and Cloris Leachman. For Dukakis and Leachman, it was their final film. Zanoli had approached each about taking part in his film, and each saw the importance behind the message. In their frail state, Leachman was confined to a wheelchair, and Dukakis, for whom he moved from the filming from Kentucky to New York, wanted to assist in sending the message about Alzheimer's and the reminder not to forget or fail, but to support the loved ones who care for others. Zanoli's next film about homelessness is expected to be out before year's end. And next, The Day I Became a Lion, Super Grandpa. I was a member of the Stevenson Lions Club for 8 or 9 years before I really became a Lion. I regularly attended club meetings. I had flipped hundreds of pancakes, and I had grown to be a committed club member. I faithfully paid my dues, contributed to LCI, and was drawn to future Lions leadership when my tile business calmed down. But it was just a few years ago that I had the experience that changed my perspective on what it really means to be a Lion. Every year in June, the District 10 Lions spend a workday at Bay Cliff Health and Wellness Center in Big Bay, Michigan. Bay Cliff is a rustic yet modern facility in the woods on the rugged south shoreline of Lake Superior. Founded in 1933, Bay Cliff Health Camp is a therapy and wellness center serving the needs of youth living with a variety of disabilities. Campers are provided physical, speech, hearing, and occupational therapies, medical and dental care, and specially adapted recreational activities. While the campers are attending Bay Cliff, their families and caretakers get a much-needed respite from caretaking. Lions have supported the camp since its first summer session in 1934. In June of 2009, I was at Bay Cliff for our annual event, and I had spent the morning helping with some tile repair. Around 11:30 a.m., the bell rang out, signaling it was time to join the campers and Bay Cliff staff for a family-style lunch. I stuffed myself full of roast pork, mashed potatoes, green beans, salad, and a gooey whipped cream cookie crumble dessert while chatting with a staff member and four campers sharing my table. After the post-luncheon entertainment, it was time to get back to my tile repair. I have a 3-hour drive home. Stepping out of the door onto the wide wood-beamed porch, I saw a young camper on crutches with braces on both of her tiny legs. She was working her way gingerly down the 4 wide wooden steps. Very carefully, just as she had learned in physical therapy, she meticulously inched her way down the set of stairs. I stood and watched her with heartfelt awe. Silently inside, I was cheering her on. Suddenly, at the bottom of the last step, as her little foot hit the ground, she lost her balance and pitched forward. An attempt to catch herself failed, and she fell flat on her face in the dirt. Without even thinking, I launched off the porch like Super Grandpa. "Oh, my," I said, "are you hurt? Can I help you get up?" The image of my youngest granddaughter flashed through my mind. There she was, face planted in the dirt. Before spontaneously swooping her up into my arms, I had the wherewithal to ask her if she would like my help. "Yes, please, if you would be so kind," she said in a small, brave voice. I picked her up and helped her to get rebalanced on her crutches. I verified again that she was not injured. As I was wiping small bits of gravel off her sweet little face, our eyes locked. A single tear escaped from her thick lashes, trickling down her cheek. "I wish I could just be a regular little girl," she sighed. As if having been struck by lightning, at the bottom of the stairs with that lovely child still reeling from her fall, every hour I had spent in a meeting, every hour I had faithfully served, every dollar I had given to the Lions mission, all came to a life-changing crescendo. I understood what being a member of the largest service organization in the world really means. I rededicated myself to a life of Lions service, leadership, and membership. I felt the true honor and pride to be serving at Bay Cliff, where this brave 7-year-old child would be given moments when she and her peers could forget about their crutches, braces, and missing limbs, and could be regular kids. My service was providing the opportunity for kids to play outdoor adapted games, go canoeing, sing camp songs, roast marshmallows over a campfire, swim, and enjoy the natural surroundings of Michigan's spectacular Upper Peninsula. I had witnessed moments of campers' sheer will throughout the day, but the rescue of a little girl at the bottom of the dining hall stairs had launched something in my heart. But it wasn't until I was attending the U.S.-Canada Leadership Forum in September of 2021 that a name was put to the profound experience I had on that sunny day in June on a cliff overlooking the rugged shoreline of Lake Superior. At the bottom of the dining hall stairs, I understood the mission of Lions and the impact our service can have on individual lives. On that unforgettable day, in my heart and soul, I became a Lion. And Lion John Spinicki is past district governor of District 10 in Michigan's Upper Peninsula and a member of the Stevenson Lions Club in Stevenson, Michigan. Next, we're going to move over and read a couple of feature articles, beginning with More Than a Memory, Mayfield Strong, Serving Communities in Great Need Long After Devastation Hits. On an abnormally warm December night in the United States, a series of devastating tornadoes whipped through dozens of communities in the states of Kentucky, Arkansas, Missouri, Tennessee, Illinois, and Indiana. The tornadoes ripped through houses and businesses, pulled power lines straight from the ground, and spread debris miles around, leaving destruction in their wake. It looked horrific. It looked like a bomb had gone off, said Council Chairperson Judge Kevin Bishop of Mayfield, Kentucky, after witnessing the devastation of his community, including his Graves County Courthouse built in 1888, left without a roof and a clock tower. During the night of the storm, he hunkered down with his loved ones and remembered the fear and uncertainty before the tornado hit his community. The twister that hit Mayfield on December 10, 2021, was one of the longest on the ground in Kentucky's history. The base of the tornado was anywhere between one half mile wide, to 1 mile wide, and it traveled for nearly 250 miles, resulting in significant damage, particularly in the western Kentucky communities of Mayfield, Dawson Springs, Benton, and Bremen. More than 80 people lost their lives and thousands of properties were destroyed or partially destroyed, including homes and businesses, leaving people without a home or place of employment. In Mayfield alone, 9 people lost their lives at the Mayfield Candle Factory, which employed more than 250 local workers after the tornado ripped through the facility. Luckily, when natural disasters like tornadoes strike, Lions are the first to offer help. Lions across the country, in Pennsylvania, Oregon, Ohio, New York, and Connecticut, help their fellow Lions in their time of great need. To magnify their impact and support to their struggling community, Lions in Kentucky turned to the Lions Club International Foundation, also known as LCIF, for help. LCIF immediately awarded a $20,000 grant to the Lions in Kentucky since most of the damage and deaths occurred in that state. LCIF also awarded an additional $100,000 grant, which can be used to provide relief to the multiple affected states where at least 30 out-of-season tornadoes touched down. I have been a Lion for a long time, and our motto is we serve. But until the Lions serve your community, you don't know what these words really mean, Bishop said. Lions lending a hand on the ground. Immediately, Lions across the country started calling in and asking how they could help. Many Lions sent financial donations, and Lions even traveled to Kentucky to help clean up, including Pennsylvania Lions. Past District Governor Dennis Cope was one of the Lions that traveled to Kentucky with 13 fellow Pennsylvania Lions to deliver more than $250,000 worth of food and supplies in January of 2022. You don't understand the devastation of a tornado and the impact on a community until you see it in person, Cope said. Alongside the Pennsylvania Lions, immediate past international president Douglas X. Alexander, now LCIF chairperson, visited some of the tornado-damaged towns, including Mayfield. I was not surprised to see so many Lions join in helping these people in need. It's what we do, Alexander said. Where there's a need, there's a lion, and we do it willingly, not looking for anything in return. It's about service, giving our service from the heart. In response to this overwhelming need, Lions started working with Kentucky Emergency Management to help distribute items from food to blankets. District Governor Gary Logan of Kentucky said Lions also set up two warehouses to help distribute goods with support of fellow Lions across the country. Since many people lost electricity after the storm, the LCIF grant funds were used to buy generators, propane heaters, and carbon dioxide detectors. Many of the power lines were damaged from the tornadoes and needed to be reinstalled by power companies. In some cases, power was not restored for a month, and the generators helped heat people's homes during the cold winter months. The needs of the Mayfield and Graves County communities in the path of this horrific tornado are going to be long-term and change daily, Bishop said. Since people lost their homes, the state of Kentucky provided housing for displaced people, and Lions provided furnishing and kitchen items for the residents living in these temporary housing situations. We're going to have people that are displaced right now from our community that are probably never going to come back, said Jeff Green, Associate Council Chairperson. The goal in the long term is to help people move back to the area to keep their community, Mayfield, strong. Green, a long-term resident, described that before the storms, Mayfield was a wonderful place to live, with a unique old downtown with the slogan, "More Than a Memory." For Green, the slogan is still true. "We are more than a memory. We are strong. We are Mayfield strong," he said. The determination of the Lions in Kentucky to rebuild their communities is how communities, with the help of Lions and their global foundation, rebuild when disaster strikes. "We can accomplish so much more when we can do it together," Logan said. "The Lions' efforts throughout the country made me speechless. If a Lion can help one by one, we can do so much more." And our final feature article for today, "Oh, pioneers, never must you be divided." In early May 2022, Lion Kareem Masters saw a hint of green in the landscape. Someone else reported seeing a few flowers blooming. A few farmers near Masters' family land had cattle grazing. On an ordinary spring day, this would not have qualified for conversation among the tight-knit people of north-central Kansas, where the pioneer spirit has tied families to the prairie for generations. But 2021 was a year like no other in the rural counties of Russell, Ellis, Rooks, and Osborne. First came the May 2021 flood, when heavy rain caused rapid swelling cracks, pouring 2 to 4 feet of water into the homes of unexpecting Kansas families. In the small town of Natoma, one-third of the homes were destroyed. Lions as far away as Lane County drove 2 to 3 hours to help rebuild the American Legion Hall that is home to the Lions. Then came December 15th of 2021. Just as people began to put the flood behind them and decorate for Christmas, wildfires driven by wind that hit 100 miles per hour swept through the area. Fire shot like lightning across the dry plains, taking not just homes, barns, and more than 5,000 miles of barbed wire fence, but livestock by the hundreds. More than 150,000 acres of land burned brittle and black as night, then turned white with a cover of blowing ash and dust as the wind continued for days. "The land is an extension of their lives," says Lion Law Tucker, who lives in Natoma. "Generations of families have raised their children and tended livestock in that land. The land is part of them." The four county fire started as the day ended, shifting with the wind and leaving little unscathed. More than 25 homes, barns, vehicles, farm implements, swing sets, feed troughs, it all burned. Stone fence posts more than 100 years old crumbled in the heat, and telephone poles burned from the ground up. "Only dust," says Masters in March of 2022, when asked what she could see from her window. I've spent hours and hours outside, and I've only seen one rabbit. That's it. The trees and bushes, the landmarks and the wildlife are all gone. Everything is gone. It's all just bare. The retired teacher was spending days on her hands and knees cutting the wire of her ruined, twisted fences that stretched for 30 miles along their land. She sifted through the ashes of what was once her grandfather's stone barn, where she had bottle-fed calves as a child. It was gone, crushed into a pile of ash with her grandparents' old stone home. Panic, fear, and sadness had fallen over their land during the fire, when it was so dark, so windy, and so dangerous that farmers could not get down roads to check their cattle or cut fences to let them run to safety. Families who would ordinarily go to check on friends and neighbors simply couldn't, although some tried. It came so fast, they say time and time again. It came so fast we couldn't leave. We live on 320 acres, says Lisa Arnoldy of Russell. It came within 10 feet of the front door. With the light of day, they saw the real heartbreak. About 100,000 hay bales used to feed the cows had burned. Hundreds of cattle had been unable to escape the fire and died in the fields, and the same ranchers who had raised them from calves had to dig pits to bury them. People think they're just livestock, but farmers know their cows like people know their pets, says Arnoldy, who stayed inside on those days because she couldn't bear to witness the grief outside. One rancher lost 100 head of cattle, and another lost more than 80. Years of genetics go into breeding those herds. One man's beloved Clydesdale horses could not be saved. A man who had just rebuilt his home after the May floods saw it burn to the ground. Another man lost 360 bales of hay to the fire. One bale of hay might feed six cows for a week, says Keith Harborer, the emergency management director for Russell and Ellsworth counties. Everyone knew the importance and cost of quickly replacing those lost bales to feed the cattle that had survived, and word of need spread quickly. Within days, a convoy of semi-trucks loaded with donated hay bales started coming in from farms all over Kansas and as far away as Iowa, Texas, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Missouri, and Colorado. Day after day, they arrived in the four counties. The Tuckers' visiting grandson waved the American flag as they passed the house. Food came in for the people, too, and not just from farmers. Natoma Lyons flipped pancakes for many. The Paradise Methodist Church fed 100 or more people lunch and dinner every day, and in the gym of the Paradise School and some of the churches, they offered shelter to those who were suddenly homeless. Many of the same Lions from 14 clubs in District K who had driven miles to help prepare the Natoma Lions Clubhouse after the flood returned after the fire with food, time, monetary donations, and hands ready for hard labor. And unfortunately, we are out of time for today's episode of Lion Magazine, but be sure to tune in next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Demi Arsenault for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Lion Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. And again, that number is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.